I first started going to the Edinburgh Festival in the late 70s and watching work like the work of people like John McGrath and all sorts of strange stuff, all the stuff, the Polish stuff that Richard DeMarco used to bring. That's where I first saw Cantor, actually. And I was not performing, but I went up and performed when I was at university several times. So I knew it quite well, and then I didn't go for several years. And then when we formed Complicité in the mid-80s, then we went up 1 year with a couple of shows. I think it was 1986, in fact. 85, 86, not quite sure, maybe it was 85. We went up with More Bigger Snacks Now, and with A Minute Too Late, the show about death. And we didn't, although we thought they were pieces that essentially were about making people laugh, we didn't think of them as quite as out-and-out comedy shows, but for whatever reason, people got terribly excited about the More Bigger Snacks Now, and it ended up winning the Perrier Award. And it was a time when we collaborated with the Midland Group in Nottingham. The Midland Group was an arts organisation, and they brought all sorts of other people to Edinburgh as well as us. And so it was rather wonderful because we were all under the same banner. But I've always felt that to go to Edinburgh, you have to, it's like sort of going into battle. You have to prepare it incredibly well. And you have to do it like that. You have to do it whereby you are protected in some way or another. Otherwise, it's a sort of rather meaningless babble of noise. Although I think it's wonderful for people to be able to do, have a chance to do whatever they want there. But there's so much now that becomes, it's very difficult to get an audience because there's simply not enough people to, there's more people playing than there are watching.
You'd done a one-man show before that in 82, 83, after...
I did a one-man show. I played Charles Bukowski. I did Notes of a Dirty Old Man. Yeah, that was before I went to Paris. And I'd done a piece called Arthur at Rodez. A few other things, yeah.
Were they successful?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it, you know. I loved going to get my baked potatoes and drinking my beer and staying up all night and not knowing who you were in bed with. Fantastic.
Do you go back now to see what's going on up there?
I haven't, no. I haven't for a while. It takes an incredible amount of energy because you've got to sort out what is worth going to see and what isn't. And I think of all the international theatre festivals, it's probably one of the least interesting in terms of the official festival.
You mentioned Polish influences, seeing a lot of the European work in effect that was brought over by Richard DeMarco, and almost the genesis of Complicité had a twofold origin in the festival's influences as well as its opportunities to perform and practice.
Yes, it was a sudden piece of exposure, but it didn't. The point was, we never really pursued it. We appeared on Wogan, suddenly we were seen by millions of people all over the country, but never occurred to us to capitalise on it particularly. We just carried on going on our own slightly eccentric path.
Did it forge a kind of bonds with the group just doing those early years when you were living cheek by jowl or on the same carpet? Did that foster a sense of...
Yes, of course. It also made us absolutely furious with each other. You know, it also blew us apart because it was extremely intense. And so, as David Mamet says, you know, you're never going to be able to sustain a theatre company beyond 5 or 6 years because it will always explode. And that's exactly what happened to us. Yet somehow we managed to find a way in which we kept on going and promoting each other's work. And one way or another.